Good morning, everyone, those who may be listening on the internet or those of us who are here today. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church, and I have titled our message today, Mockers Beware. Mm-hmm. Mockers Beware. God is not mocked, and he won't continue to be mocked. He's very tolerant. He suffered their manners in the wilderness for 40 years, as the scriptures say. So he's very patient. He's not willing for anyone to perish. He's not wanting anyone to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish. He's not interested in a perishing people. He wants to save them. Will they perish? Yes, there will be many. The multitudes will perish because of their lack of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the way it is, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Either you believe that or you don't. And but he's not interested in people getting lost and going to hell, going that direction. He wants them to be saved. But there's a powerful, powerful adversary out there that has duped people to believe that God doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what God is saying. So he's being vetted. He's being removed out of our institutions and out of our judicial systems and out of the leadership of our government because, you know, God is not, he's not in vogue anymore. We've got to do something about this. So let me share with you a depiction that, once again, pictures mean a lot to me. When I see things, they do speak a thousand words. When I see something, that really depicts much. And this picture that I want to show you right now is a picture of a satellite view. Those of you who are listening can just picture this, of Hurricane Floyd. This happened in 1999. Hurricane Floyd was out here in the Atlantic. And share something with you about Floyd as we discuss the symbolism here. So on the screen up here in our body, I've got a shot of Hurricane Floyd looming out in the Atlantic Ocean off of the east coast of Florida. That is a tremendous, tremendous view, satellite view, with a very, very, very defined eye in the center of it. And here's just a little information on Floyd. It says Floyd was a very powerful Cape Verde-type hurricane which struck the east coast of the United States. It was a sixth named storm, fourth hurricane, and third major hurricane in 99. Floyd triggered the third largest evacuation in U.S. history behind Hurricane Gustav and Hurricane Rita, respectively. With 2.6 million coastal residents of five states were ordered from their homes as it approached. The Cape Verde-type hurricane formed off the coast of Africa, as they typically do, and they just like a train coming across over all the way over to the United States. And it lasted from September 7th to September 19th, peaking in strength as a very strong Category 4, just short of the highest possible rating on the Simpson hurricane scale. It was among the largest Atlantic hurricanes of its strength ever recorded. Wow. So what I'm seeing here is what we're getting ready to share in some scriptures. What I'm seeing in this picture is the beautiful green peninsula of Florida just being softly touched a little bit with some outer bands. Just softly touched. And people here, without beaming up to the satellite view and not watching TV, they're thinking that, what? All is well? No big deal? What is this proclamation of repentance, so to speak, spiritually? What is this proclamation of, you know, judgment is coming, Jesus will return, you know? If you're not ready, you're going to be overcome. It's going to be too late if you don't stand and watch, you know, so to speak, your souls to get them ready and be prepared, you know, for the coming of the return of the Lord, for the judgment of God. But when I saw this is what I saw. You know, you don't see it with the naked eye, but satellite shows us. So there's a lot of things we don't see with our naked eye, but God sees it all. He's got the perspective. You know, the person who comes up, and Linda shared this before, about seeing the toenail of the elephant, but not really seeing the elephant. And so this really stirred my heart to share some things with you today for a few moments about Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Let us eat and be merry, they say, but the church is saying, the real church is saying, wake up, you know, and we are going to rejoice. We are going to dance, and we're going to open our mouth and praise God without shame in this world that we live. And the world may not like it. You know, they may not see, you know, what's the big deal to rejoice over, but they don't know the God that we know. They don't know the God that arranges this. But you know what? In this particular case, anyone remember what happened to Floyd? In this particular case, it didn't strike Florida. It kind of sounds like Nineveh to me. In 40 days, you're going to be wiped out, Noah said. And a heathen nation. Heathen, brutal, vicious Assyrians. The king took his robe off, humbled himself, got on his knees, and, you know, just put on a sackcloth and sit on ashes. And every animal, cat, dog, and squirrel, and anything else in the land also did the same thing. They put a sackcloth on them, and all their animals and everything is sit on ashes. They repented. And just like that, I'm hoping America will get it to a degree. I don't know to what degree, but we're in trouble. I don't see our president taking his royal accolades off and his position of arrogance and these things to humble himself and to tell our nation to repent and put on sackcloth and ashes. I don't see that happening, but what happened with Floyd was it skirted us. I see mercy, and it went up the coast, and it caused a lot of, you know, billions of dollars of damage along the coast, but it went on out like this, but it skirted the coast. Did a lot of damage to certain portions of North Carolina. Leave that up there if you would, Chad. But I'm not laughing. I see this is so serious, this day that we're living. It's a day of hope. It's full of the hope of the Lord. We have a great promise here. But I also see some looming judgments of God coming to a land that was founded as a Christian nation that is losing its heritage and not being taught the heritage in our public schools. It's not a priority. That concerns me. That's a big deal. Now, teachers don't think it's a big deal. We have teachers in here that work with teachers, and it's just no big deal. Don't make a big ruck. You know, don't get your feathers ruffled. It's no big deal. But it is a big deal that we kick God out. It is a big deal that we don't aspire to teach our children, even in our public schools, have prayer in the morning or have a scripture in the morning like they used to have in our one-room schoolhouses. Wow. Let's get to it. Look at this right now, if you would, with me. I want to share some scriptures about what they're going to be saying in the last days, what God says they're going to be saying in the last days in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Who is writing these letters to us? Who is giving these scriptures and these books of the Bible to us? Handed down by what? Men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write down what God gave them to write down. And God knows what's going to happen in the last days. He sees it before we even see it. God sees the last days way beyond us. And we cannot see with the naked eye. We can see them by the Spirit. We can believe what God is saying is true. But here's what I see in the scriptures we're about to share. We don't see any problems because everything is cool. There's no storm. It's off the coast. We don't see it. But look what the Bible says. In the last days, in 2 Peter 3, verse 1, this is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. When we get together, how many of you ever read these before, these scriptures before? So what he's saying is, I'm going to remind you and I want you to be stirred up over these scriptures. Or else, God help us, we can't share any scriptures because we've already heard them. How many of you ever read the Bible all the way through? So you, at least, if you don't remember it all, you read it all. But Peter says, I want to stir you up by way of reminder.
You ever try to remind somebody of something that's not a way to do something or the way to go or the attitude to have, and they get real huffy toward you? That's not a humble spirit. So if somebody wants to remind you that, by the way, what you're doing is not going anywhere but going to cause trouble, and they get real angry with you, then that tells you something about where they are. So all we're doing today is be reminded and be stirred that we serve a living God, and He knows what He's doing, He knows what He's saying, He knows what He wants to do in us in this world that doesn't think very kindly of Him or His people. And it says in verse 2 that you should remember the word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord saying of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come. The King James says scoffers. You got the King James? A mocker is a scoffer, is a what? Is a naysayer, is a troublemaker, is a mocking. Mockers will come with their what? Mocking, following after their own lust. And here's what they're going to say. Where is the promise of His coming? What's the big deal? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Have you ever heard people have this attitude? What's the big deal? It all continues as it was. The sun rises, the sun sets, the moon comes up, everything's on a cyclical motion. What is the big deal? It all continues as it was. My parents were born, my parents lived, my parents died, their grandparents and grandparents and grandparents and all the way dead. Everything continues as it was. But one day, it's going to be rolled up like a scroll and it'll be over. How many of you thought that when you're young, you just live forever? So every year, the birthdays come by, you say, whoa. From these mistakes that I make, let's say mistakes financially you may make, it takes a while to rebound. So when you're young, if you make financial mistakes, you say, I've got time to rebound. So when you get older and you make, let's say, use the example of financial mistakes, I would that I had done this simple thing of putting aside so much. It may seem so little, but it's so exponential, it's astronomical after a period of years. And by the time I'm 40, if I would have done that when I was 20 or even 18, look where I would have been today. And so as you get older, you say, now I got to start at 40 to do what I should have done at 20. Or I'm going to start doing at 50 what I should have done at 30. So you realize that time goes by and you know there's a briefness to it all. So, all the days of our life, we need to be what? Seeking God for His wisdom in all aspects of our life. So, I am not one that is free from being financially foolish. I have made mistakes, I have tried, I've reached out to do some things, but it didn't go the way I thought. So, we are where we are, and we go from here. That's what you do. We need to seek God now. And so it is spiritually. If we've done so many foolish things, and now you realize, wow, you get some illumination, you get some understanding of the way things really are, and so you really want to do it God's way. And that's where I hope we are today. We really want to do it God's way. Lord, I've never danced before You before. I've clapped my hands a little bit, but I've never really twirled before You before. Well, the devil would say, and you're not going to ever do it. And those of you who can't twirl or spin, you can spin in your hearts and be glad for those who can. Yeah. You can rejoice with them. There is no one above another.
That's right.
So, praise the Lord. Some of us are from Mars, some are from Venus, but help us all to be children of God and really blooming where we're planted. And this is so powerful here. In verse 4, here's what they're going to be saying. Where's the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Well, in Jeremiah 17, verse 15, it says, "Look, they keep saying to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now.'" And so, verse 16, it says in Jeremiah 17, "But as for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd after thee, nor have I longed for the woeful day." I'm going to read that again because it's so powerful. Jeremiah 17, 15. "Look, they keep saying to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now.'" So they're mocking. "And as for me," he says, "I'm going to hang out with the Lord. I'm going to stick with the Lord." But they're saying, "Let the word of the Lord come to pass." They were saying that a long time ago. "They keep saying to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now.'" They were saying that to Jeremiah. Jeremiah responds and says, "But as for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd after thee, nor have I longed for the woeful day." So those of you who have been illuminated and understand what the word of God is and what it's saying in your life, don't be intimidated by the world saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?" It all continues as it was. Well, time is going by. We're getting older. We realize we made mistakes. So now we have a fire within us, hopefully, to do it right now instead of doing the same old crazy things all over again. Stupid is what stupid does. I don't want to live that way anymore. We in this body, do you know that we in this body started putting aside 10% of what comes in as a storehouse? Well, we've never done that before. Well, I think it's wise to do it. We haven't. For years, we haven't done that. And so we're now putting, we call it a storehouse. And so out of that storehouse, just recently, we had money to put with what God stirred to happen with Friends of the Unborn, whatever was given, out of a storehouse, we're going to match that. It's almost $1,000. And have you heard? They are elated. Mm-hmm. It was super perfect timing for needs that they have.
Praise God.
Down on diapers, down on this and down on that. And here comes almost $1,000. See, we're a part of... Mm-hmm. Just walk. Just walk with Jesus, you know. And Lord, what are we going to do with it? Don't worry about it. Just set aside. We'll worry about what to do with it later. And sometimes you got something, you just want to get rid of it so quick. You can't have it because that's not humble. You can't have anything because God's going to take care of it and you can't have anything. You got to get rid of everything you have. Well, I had a piece of paper in my pocket, didn't I? Wow. So we've got to what? What is the key? It's to be led by God's Spirit. That's it. Whether we're dancing or giving or sharing God's Word, and like you were sharing about the testimony of the precious soul that went to China. But Lord, I don't know. I flunked out of Bible college or wherever she went. But you don't flunk out with Jesus when you're looking to Him. You don't flunk out. You might have flunked out in finance 101, but now you're in class with Jesus, you know, graduate level, you know. Jesus he wants to get a hold of our hearts, to get a hold of our financial endeavors and everything we do and cars that we buy and dealing with all kind of things and where we live. And He wants to have a part of every moment of our life. Set my heart a dancing. Set my life on fire, you know, Lord, for you. Well, let's get through this in verse 5. "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." And by the way, the earth was flooded with water, whether anyone believes that or not. The earth was covered with water 15 cubits above the highest peak. A cubit's 18 inches times 15 is 22.5 feet above the highest peak. The highest peak that we know of today is Mount Everest at 29,028 feet. So it was 22 and a half feet above Mount Everest, if Everest was there at that time. So it's all history, whether anyone believes that or not. It's all history. It's all there. The world was flooded with water in verse 6 and verse 7. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. To me, this is just an indication of God could just, he can blow it one way, he can blow it the other, he can take his hand and just go stir it this way or push it that way. Attitude over here determines a lot what God does. Here, it was merciful, like Nineveh. They repented, and not that people here were repenting or anything, because there's probably a lot going on when there's hurricane, having hurricane parties, you know. Everybody gets together, we have a hurricane party, you just eat, drink, and be merry when a hurricane's out there. But anyhow, it skirted and it went away. But I see the judgment of God. It could easily come in a heartbeat just like that. Wow. The present heavens and earth, it says, reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It's like time is no issue with God. That's why when we die, or if we sleep until we are in the kingdom of heaven with God forever with all his family, or however God keeps us, it's like a dream. You wake up, you're there. You know, it doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Wherever he keeps us, however he keeps us, he's going to keep us with him. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. That's why the naysayers, the mockers, you know, everything's going to be the same. Nothing's going to change. But it is, but he, the Lord, in verse 9, is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. How many of you know anything about the Assyrians and what they did to Israel? Very, very brutal. They pillaged them. They raped. They cut heads off. They butchered. It just, them and the Babylonians, back and forth in their power, back and forth, attacking each other. Blood in the streets, chariots, whips cracking. There's description of this in the scriptures. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of brutality. War is hell, someone said. But these people practiced brutality. And yet, Jonah did not want to go there to these people knowing what they'd done. But he wanted to show him that God is a God of mercy and is very gracious toward the Gentiles. By the way, I was not born a Jew. I was a Gentile. But now we're all one. We're all been grafted in. Praise God for that.
Amen.
But he wanted to show him he's a God of mercy and grace. And so God is not wanting to destroy the world. He wants to save the world. He will give warning signs. He will give admonition. But some listen, some don't. I'm so glad he's merciful to me. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Not this time by a flood, this time by fire. And so, verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness today? Is it possible to be godly and holiness in our financial affairs for a change? Using that example. Our attitudes toward other people, our patience toward other people. Is it possible to receive godly guidance for a change that we didn't have before? Even though we love the Lord, perhaps Christians, but now we just kind of getting some greater illumination to do it God's way rather than our way. His way is always better. Has your attitude changed just in the world of being patient with people? Come on, come on, you're driving so slow. We're going to be late. The kids have been waiting for a half hour, whatever. Come on, come on, come on. Get out of the way in front of me. Come on, come on, come on. Have you changed, though, in your real world life of how you drive, how you think? Got to get the laundry done. Ram, ram, ram. How many towels you guys going to use? Use your towels over. Use them over and over again. I'm washing too many clothes, you know. You know, it's attitude is everything.
Amen.
And that's how the saints of God should live. Directed and living and moving and existing by the Spirit of God in everything that we do. I don't want to live like, come on, come on, come on, anymore. Wow. Holy conduct, verse 11. Looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements, you know, this time it's going to be intense heat. And verse 13, but according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. To be found when? Somebody help me out. Be found by Him when? Spotless, blameless, and at peace. When?
Now.
Yeah, I like that. Now. I also like Hebrews when it says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Now. Yeah, but I was expecting this when we went there, and it wasn't the way I expected. So expectations can get you in trouble too. Spotless and blameless. In that moment, now, today. I know that happened, but this is what's going on now. How are we going to handle it? I really hate it when I spill something in the kitchen and I have to go out the door. I've shared that with you before, but I want to pick it up in peace. I want to deal with it in peace. I want to go out the door in peace. Oatmeal all over the place or whatever it is, or broken glass, do it in peace, then go. Or slam the door and be angry and go. But it won't get better. It won't get better. And verse 15, and regard the patience of the Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Somebody want to make a comment on regarding the patience of the Lord to be salvation? Anyone want to make a comment on that? Regard the patience of the Lord to be salvation. Ted?
He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to make the right decision to come to Him.
In where? In our circumstances. The patience of the Lord brings salvation to something that you could be very impatient about. The patience of the Lord brings salvation in that moment. Salvation to your body, salvation to your spirit, salvation to your soul in that moment. Whether it's a conversation or something physically happening. Just got the roof fixed. We paid $16,000 for it. And right now, it's 10 o'clock at night. I have to get up tomorrow morning. I have an appointment and there's water dripping on my head. You just got through paying $16,000 for a roof and yet water's dripping on your head. Are you wanting to strangle the roofer? Or strangle yourself for the decision that you made? Well, I mean, isn't that a good moment to regard the patience of the Lord to be salvation? In something like that happening? Just an example. Right now, I think I would just move from where I was lying down and get a bucket and maybe go to sleep with that drip or something. I don't know. Put a towel in there, stop the noise. Probably the best thing to do. Oh, expectations can be a killer. And it also says in verse 16, as also in all His letters, speaking in them of these things in which we are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. Wow. You're going to have a lot of distortion of the Scriptures. But if you know what you stand for, you're going to limit what you fall for. You won't be distorted by this foolishness of what was handed out by letting somebody else tell you what to think and do that day. You're not going to be distorted by that. You're going to know where you stand. You're going to live that way. You're going to walk that way. We just got to do it. We just got to do it. We got to regard the patience of the Lord to be salvation in the moment that we're living. No matter what's going on in our life. No matter what you thought or had expectations for, if it didn't happen, you need to look to the Lord. Verse 17, and we're almost done here. We're almost done. In verse 17, the rest, 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fail from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Wow. It's all about growing. Grow, grow, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. To the day of eternity. So when you die, you're just stepping from this body into eternity. But we want to step into the kingdom of heaven forever and not into the kingdom of hell forever. So it's all eternity one way or the other. But we need to grow in regards to maturing in the Lord. We need to grow in that. We need to practice that. And I want to share these scriptures in Revelation, and we'll close with these as far as a church that was, to me, indicative of where our world is today, not paying attention to the warnings of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 14, you've heard this before, I'm sure. And we're talking about the church in Laodicea. And I think this is indicative of America and many countries in the world today, many people, many nations and languages of the world today. I think Laodicea is indicative of a state of the world today. And the angel of the Lord, and particularly America, the angel of the Lord in Laodicea, and to the angel of the Lord in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. So God is speaking. It's all red letters. Jesus speaking. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you, today, don't wait for other things to happen when it's too late, but I advise you today. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold, hot or cold, I spit you out of my mouth, and because you say I'm rich, etc., I advise you, verse 18, to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, America. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me in my throne, on my throne, as also I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Those of you who may be listening on the internet, those of us that are here today, I admonish myself to have ears to hear what the Lord is saying. It's a serious day. It's a time to take Him serious. Time is going on. He is going to return. And just because some people do not believe that doesn't nullify the truth of God. Someone might say to you, I don't believe that. I don't believe this word of God. I believe in God, but not Jesus. We've heard that recently. Shirley heard that recently. I believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I just can't believe that immaculate, miraculous birth. I can't go there. Well, if they can't go there, they won't be going to God. So we have a world out there that is blind to the facts, to the truth of what's really going on, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. And so that's how a lot of people are living. But when it approaches, when you're standing out on the beach, when you're standing on the beach, it's beautiful blue sky, and all of a sudden, an hour or two later, the sky changes. Your knees begin to get a little weaker because you see how ominous it can be. I've never been in Nebraska. I've never been in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley and all that, Missouri through there. But if I was standing in my back porch or my front porch or my upstairs window looking out and seeing the 2 mile wide spread, tornado, one of the worst that you can ever imagine, black sky, and you see the debris from other farms being hit near you already, I think you change your tone a little bit. Now seeing is believing. Hey, Mac, I'm over here in my bunker. I'm safe, but we've got a tornadoes, Category 5, whatever they call it, Cat 5. Really, they have them rated. And over here, all my barns and my house and everything's gone. We're all safe in our bunker. By the way, it's heading your way. And he will have a tendency to believe him when he looks out to the northwest or wherever it is coming. He'll believe him. And that's what I see here. So we're saying to the world, he's coming back. Not as a lamb, but as a lion. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So all we do is tell them, we preach the word. We preach truth. It's up to them to exercise their free will, whether they want to believe it or not. If there's anyone out here that you got to see to believe, I want to encourage you to get on your knees and ask God to make himself real to you. Not by signs and wonders, but by the Spirit of God piercing your heart with the powerful truth that is in Jesus Christ. If you will bow your knees before him, if you will humble yourself and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, come into your life and stop the insanity, he'll do it. Amen. If you don't, you won't. It's heaven or hell. You choose Jesus, you choose life. You choose against him, you choose death. That's just the way it is. It can't be said any other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. May God help you to make that decision. If you haven't, if you're a Christian, I pray that today will be a new day for you to open up your heart and let the S-O-N shine in on any dark areas of your life and get things turned around. God bless you.